When my daughter Katie was 7 or 8 months old, I decided to change my hairstyle so I could have bangs. The moment Katie saw me with just that minor change, she started screaming. When I picked her up and held her tight, patting her back and talking to her, she settled down because she knew Mommy from that angle, her face looking over my shoulder and just hearing my voice. But the moment she pulled back to look at my face again, she started screaming. It took almost a week for her to get used to the new Mommy. I got my hair colored on my 40th birthday, planning on doing it just the one time. Neither Russ nor my mother-in-law noticed, but then my 10-year-old son Joey walked in the door and instantly exclaimed, "Mom, your gray hair's all gone. Oh, I'm so relieved." That was the year his grandpa had died, so it struck me that the kids' fears of losing their parents were close to the surface, and gray hair must have seemed like evidence of mortality. I was just going to get it colored until the kids were done with high school, but by that point, the roots were coming in too white, making it impossible to let it go gracefully and gradually gray, so I followed the path of least resistance and kept getting a cut and color every 5 or 6 weeks, year after year. But the pandemic has changed everything. I stopped going anywhere in March, and little by little, the thin stripe of white that appeared along my part just before those regular trips to the hairdresser started widening. 1 inch, 2 inches, 3 inches. My hair was more and more ragged, the half brown, half white looking more and more bizarre. Now that baby Walter is beyond the newborn stage, we decided it was reasonably safe for me to get a haircut, since my hairdresser enforces excellent social distancing rules. So last Tuesday, I told her to cut off as much as she needed to, and now I can honestly say that COVID-19 has turned my hair white. Oddly enough, Walter loves it. From the start, he's focused on the white part on top, which made me different from every other person in the house anyway. It's not like I'm his mother. I'm just the grandma. But that made me start wondering about birds. Young ones tend to imprint on their mother or both their parents, memorizing their appearance and voice. Most adult birds don't start molting until after they're done raising young for the season, and all the species I can think of in which young stay with their parents into their first winter seem to look the same in their breeding and winter plumage. Goose, swan, jay, crow, and chickadee adults look pretty much the same before and after their summer molt, except that the new feathers are fresher. I wonder if it's a rule in birds that parents hold on to the same general appearance during the time their young remain with them, however long that may be. Except that rule doesn't always hold. Some blue jays molt all their head feathers at once. A bald blue jay looks nothing like a fully feathered one, and I know some of the bald jays in my own yard this summer were still feeding fledglings. I've never heard any evidence that blue jays beg for food from adults other than their own parents, but evidently young jays recognize their parents before, during, and after they molt all their head feathers, an accomplishment that certainly exceeds that of a 7 or 8 month old human baby who can't recognize her own mother after a minor haircut. This may not mean much, but I'm taking it as more evidence that blue jays are indeed smarter than humans, though that was obvious anyway. Never has any blue jay ever gone every 5 or 6 weeks throughout its adult life to a hairdresser to change the color of its natural plumage. Of course, that's not just evidence of blue jay intelligence. It's also due to the incontrovertible fact that blue jays are prettier than we are. Beauty and brains in an elegant 3-ounce package. Who could ask for more? I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.